The nausea that many of us are feeling these days is not because of any one person or any one political party. It's not about any one executive order or any one bill in Congress. It's not only about the people who are already being harmed by acts of hate and fear today. It is on a profound spiritual level about the victory of an archetype that we all know deep in our gut. It's the Superman, the monolithic white power, the deathless winner, the judge, the rapist. This archetype has manifested painfully in all of our lives in one way or another, including the lives of the white men in this room. For some of us, it's our own father. For some, it's a boss, a relative, a bureaucrat, or a teacher. For some, it's a cruel bill targeting the LGBTQ community. For some of us, it's a sexual assailant. For some of us, it's the Judeo-Christian God. It's the voice in our head that says, "Who are you kidding? You're never going to be able to make anything of yourself." It's the voice that says, "Stop sniveling. Boys don't cry." It's the voice that says, "Shut up. You don't get to talk here." Many of us have spent a lifetime struggling to break free from these figures in our psyches and in our material lives. We've worked so hard to overcome them. We've carved out space for ourselves and for others. We've tried to welcome crying and not crying. We've tried to love our bodies. We've tried to honor difference, to embrace vulnerability, and to value nurturing. We've struggled to gain a financial foothold when times were hard. We have cultivated compassion for ourselves and for others, even in weakness, and we have found great power there. And we've seen tiny signs that a new consciousness might be taking hold in our world. It has been a journey, empowering and affirming. We've known, of course, that we still have miles to go, but that unbridled power of that archetypal figure seemed to be crumbling. And now it's back, returning like our worst nightmares, recurring in our nightmares, back from the past like kryptonite, threatening to drain all our power. This archetype manifests itself over and over through our history because it is built into the structure of our society. It's a structure of dominance and submission, of winners and losers, those who belong and those who don't. It's woven into the fabric of our lives, of sports, of school, of physical looks, of physical ability, of the military, and most certainly of capitalism itself. The scourge of hierarchy and competition afflicts everyone and everything. Everything gets rated on a scale of 1 to 10. It's soul crushing. Even someone at the top of the social pecking order, a strong, white, male, heroic soldier, is a failure if he gets captured. A woman beautiful enough to be crowned Miss Universe is a failure if she gains weight. A well-respected journalist is a failure from the start because of his disability. Failure looms for everyone in this world of winners and losers. And so it's vital to remember that as heartbreaking as it is that the perpetual winner has won again, he who won, and I'm using he in the archetypal sense here, he who won is the one who invented winning. I believe that when we are at our best, here at First Unitarian, we are writing a different game. We're not just focused on winning one battle, but on a global transformation of consciousness, starting with the people in this room right now. We are guided by faith. Our Unitarianism teaches us that we are all one. We will never find salvation by building walls and keeping people out, but we will find salvation together. Our Universalism teaches us that love in the universe is infinite and unconditional, that no one has to lose for someone else to gain. There is enough for everyone. Our seven principles teach that we each have inherent worth and dignity, no matter what we look like, how much money we have, what our religion is, where we come from, or what we may accomplish in this life. They teach that we can be trusted to follow our own conscience. They teach us to pursue spiritual growth and compassion, not power and wealth. They teach us to honor and care for the interdependent web of life of which we are all a part. In the best of times, this vision is spiritually challenging for our society. Today, it is downright countercultural. We are heading into our annual stewardship campaign here at First U. Over the next 6 weeks, we'll be asking each other to give the financial support that this community needs to keep going for the next year. I want you to know that when you support First Unitarian, you are supporting this spiritual vision of our world. You are supporting the thriving of a real sanctuary. We are a sanctuary for people of different genders and races and backgrounds and ethnicities, many of whom are rightfully afraid today. We are a sanctuary for all of those bonded to them in love. We are a sanctuary for change makers. So many of us in this room are working one way or another for the most vulnerable and for the delicate ecosystems that sustain life itself. From my vantage point here as a minister, the outpouring of energy and commitment from this congregation, especially over the last few months, I know that this congregation is a powerful force for good in the world. We are also a sanctuary of a different kind. We are a sanctuary for the soul. You won't find this kind of sanctuary anywhere else besides in a religious community. Here we speak of love directly in a different register to the soft core inside of each of us. Here we can dismantle that mythic archetype of dominance and violence. Here we can lift up different heroes, those who have been spiritual leaders for healing and transformation, those who were oppressed and rose up. Here we can be a little bit sheltered from those voices in our heads that tell us all that we cannot be and all that we cannot do. Here it's okay to be weak. Here it's okay to be different. Here it's okay to make mistakes. Here it's okay to cry. We are a spiritual community that says yes to each one of us, to believing in ourselves and to honoring each other. And we lift up a different image of God. God as compassion, God as love, God as inner guidance, God as the power of liberation for the oppressed, God as the radical force that Rachel talked about in her homily, in which we are slain in spirit and anything is possible. If you haven't yet joined this congregation, join us this year. If you haven't yet made a financial pledge, make a pledge this year. We need your support to keep our sanctuary strong, and we need your unique voice to keep our sanctuary real. In the days ahead, the need for a touchstone like this one will unfortunately likely grow. It will become more and more an essential place for us all to gather, to sing about love and peace and not be ashamed, to need each other and not be ashamed, to be challenged by each other to take action and not lose heart. We'll need to know that this sanctuary is here. We'll need to hear from each other, as our final hymn says, "It's okay, you can lean on me." It will be a reality check and a faith check for us all. Please join me in that final hymn, "Lean on Me," an insert in your order of service.